The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast episode 185. I actually looked it up. So we lied to Lexi Lawless. We're not at 200 something. We're at 185. Whatever, fuck them.
That's okay. That's all right.
Yeah.
Clip that, get it back on.
Yeah, exactly. 185, big week. Michael, you and I, disappointing sports week across the board, pretty much. Except for we'll get to our game between each other. Sounds like the Tuckers had a little bit more luck. But more importantly, it was Thanksgiving. How was the Tucker family Thanksgiving? I'll start there.
It was pretty good. A lot of card games getting played. Crushed some mac and cheese. Actually, we can do a little over-under here, throw a little throwback. I weighed myself Thursday morning and then Thursday night. Over-under 5.5 pounds gained on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay, so if you know, I know the answer. If you know, and you're making the line, it's obviously very close.
Yes, correct.
So I'll say 5.7.
You're over, I'm under. All right, I'll go under.
It was over. It was 6.1 pounds.
Oh, my days. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, it's all gone now, but it was so worth it.
What's the spread like for you guys?
It's not great.
Turkey, mac and cheese, stuffing, I think, and seven pies.
Yeah.
Nick definitely thought I was asking about a gambling spread.
He was.
No, I was not. No, I said it, and I realized, shit, Mom listens to this. How do I get this back without getting yelled at like we got yelled at this morning?
That was not how you do it.
No, it's not how you do it right there. It's not. Maybe it was fine. I'm also not a Thanksgiving fan, like, the food-wise. I don't like the food very much. I'm not crazy about it.
Christmas,
oh yeah, big Christmas.
Is that's chicken, your one? What's the difference?
Chicken parm.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Not turkey.
Okay, yeah, turkey's pretty overrated.
I love December. I love the full holiday season, not like 2 days. You know, you get the spirit. I love.
Yeah, Michael, you and I really haven't celebrated Thanksgiving together in 6 years because I got married and now we go to Jersey. What was going on at home?
Remember back 7 years of what Thanksgiving was like at home? It's exactly the same.
Love to hear it. All right.
Nothing's changed.
Happy Thanksgiving from the NAFTA podcast to you and yours. Guys, we got a big week to recap. First things first, if you are watching, if you're following, if you're listening, please give us a 5-star rating. Give us a 4-star rating. I don't give a shit. Just give us a rating. It'd be really, really great. Give us a follow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For someone who works in sales, I don't like doing this. It kind of feels weird. But we've gotten a little bit more traction, a lot more people listening, so that's a good thing. Big week, like I mentioned. We got a lot to go over. We're going to do it exactly how I broke it down last week, give you the recap of the games, do the dudes of the week, and then later this week get our predictions in on a second episode. What will precede the predictions? I have no idea yet because I haven't pinned down these two supporting groups, but we'll see what happens and make it work. But first things first, dudes of the week, Nick, a striker scored for you guys, and it was an incredible goal. I'm going to let you go first. You got the opening pick. Michael, you guys beat City 1-1, so you can go second. And Dylan, you can go third. I'll pull up the rear because I think my result was probably the most, probably should have won. Dylan, you got the least lucky. I feel bad not putting you third, but,
I don't deserve third. I should be last.
All right, I'll go third. You can go last on this one. Double pick. Nick, open us up. I think this is the first time you ever had first pick, to be honest.
It's possible. You know, just patience is clearly paying off.
There you go. Dudes of the week, we're getting into it.
Yeah, got to go number one. Not even a question. Alejandro Garnacho with the overhead bicycle kick that nobody saw coming. Who thinks about doing that on that type of ball? technique, everything. The wild part about it is that's his first goal of the season. So, yeah, not to put a little, you know, to kind of take a little shine off, but that was insane. Actually, my favorite part, a little sign on Twitter today, there's a United fan account, UTDTrey5, and he said, not going to lie, this Garnacho goal has gotten more glow up than City win the treble. And the comment section was hilarious. Like, I got to find it again and send it, because people are just roasting this dude. It was pretty funny, but the goal was, I mean, that's if that doesn't win, if something beats that for the Puskas Award, like, that's going to be an obscene goal.
Yeah. Sick goal. Incredible goal. That's all I'll say about it. Michael?
First of all, just nothing new for United Trey there. He gets roasted more on the internet than I do, so that's pretty tough.
He pops up because I don't follow him, but he pops up on my all stuff the time. Anyway. He gets crushed.
All the time. All the time. My first dude of the week, I got to go Paul Mullen, 3 goals man of the match for Wrexham in a 6-0 win. Congratulations to those guys. I think they're going to make a charge for the top spot in the league. I think it's Stockport and Notts that are still ahead of them. They're in third
now.
They're in second now? Okay. Yeah. So it's those 3 promoted teams in the past 2 years, though, that are all at the top. So that shows you how tough the competition was in the National League.
Big time, big time. I had that one as well going into this, and I changed it. So I'm good. You didn't take my pick. I'm going to shout out someone that I actually think is one of the bigger cornballs in the world, but now, post-retirement, kind of started liking him a little bit more. Justin James Watt. Shout out to J.J. Watt. There's a video of him. He went to Burnley. He sat in the supporter section. He is as big as 3 English men in the supporter section. They scored a goal. He went absolutely berserk. I kind of like that he went into Burnley. I think he's like a very, very minority owner, but went into Burnley and he's rolling with it. So shout out to him. It looked like a ton of fun. Like I said, big time cornball before, but more respect for JJ post-retirement.
All right. I think you guys are all going to know this person. I'm about to make my dude of the week. Yerson Mosquera. You know, real household name there. Defender for FC Cincinnati. On loan from the Wolves. I normally wouldn't shout this out. However, it was against my Union with the late 90th minute goal to send FC Cincinnati to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know what? In a year where the Wolves can't stop scoring, we're doing it in other leagues too. So we'll take that as a win.
True.
Number 2, also someone I don't enjoy saying for this reason, Anthony Gordon. Kind of good this week. Goal, assist, actually looking good for Newcastle. Still don't like his face very much. But outside of that, like, I always thought it was a dumb signing for Newcastle, and he's actually proven me wrong, so good for him.
Gordo getting a goal and an assist. Everton, not the best week for them, though, obviously. God damn it, I'm going to clip that out. No, I'm not. Anthony Gordon, shout out to him for Newcastle. I think I got nervous because for my next dude of the week, I'm going to be tiptoeing a fine line here. I don't know if you guys are going to know who this person is, but if this name rings a bell, I can tell by your eyes. Shout out to Alicia Lehmann. She's a Danish midfielder. Yes. Danish midfielder for Aston Villa.
Don't get your hopes
not
up.
Only, not only
R.I.P. David Luiz.
Yeah,
Douglas. Douglas Luiz. God damn it.
Took my final line here, too. Not only a very, very good footballer. Today, she just announced that she released a calendar for next year. She's very proud of. And you know
Shut
what?
I need to find white elephant gift for some friends. Is this what you're telling me to buy?
I don't know what's on the inside, put it that way. But this is just a man supporting a woman. She wants to do.
Is this your way of telling us that we need to do a Men of NAFTA pod calendar?
I don't want to do that at all. But I'm saying that it's 2023. You respect all ideas, all work. And not only being a great footballer, sometimes you can identify that someone has an absolute dump truck. So shout out to Alicia Lehman. There you go. And Nick, to your point, the only L Douglas Luiz has held all year, losing that one. So is what it is. Michael.
Two very attractive people. Sad it had to come to an end.
We love life.
I'm in, absolutely, every single time. I'm in, as everyone knows, in Columbus, Ohio. Columbus Crew taking down the Orlando, I don't know what the fuck their name is, Lions or some shit like that. Who knows?
Correct.
Orlando City, I think that's all it is. Juan Hernandez, shout out to you. Getting that goal. Give the boys the win. Don't know why he's a 24-year-old that left the Premier League to come to Columbus. I think he just likes 19-degree weather and pretty much nothing else. So shout out to him. I'm glad he came.
Yeah. Michael, huge MLS guy, as we can tell.
Massive.
Nick.
Final four, baby.
Double pick, Nick.
All right. First one, we're going to stick with the Academy products. We're going to go with Kobe Mainoo. He was an absolute... I know, Michael. I was so in my head. How do I pronounce this correctly? And it's I'm hoping I did it. I did it right.
Yeah. Oh, you did that great. It's just a shill this week, huh?
Oh yeah. Why not? I mean, if Dylan can do it okay. with Wolves players and different limbs of Wolves players, why can't I?
Hey, hold on. It's not Wolves players. It's not Wolves players. He does it with one Wolf player in different forms.
Yeah.
You know. Fine. That's all.
Fair. But Kobe was an absolute. You know, 18 years old, first start ever. In the Premier League. I mean, granted, Everton, but still, hostile environment, was an absolute beast. Absolute beast. So that was really exciting to see. So he's my second dude of the week. My third dude of the week is going to be Sergio Ramos. Dude actually convinced the referee to go to the screen and check his second yellow card, and he got the card rescinded, only to be handed a straight red and sent off the field. So
good for him.
If there's anything more Sergio Ramos than that, I mean, I don't know what is.
I think he actually now has the club record, like all clubs record for most red cards in a career. So shout out to Sergio.
He's also the first back-to-back NAFTA dude of the week, I think, too, right?
No, I had Pedro Neto in different forms for four straight weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
There was first half Pedro Neto, second half Pedro Neto. Right. Good Pedro Neto.
Bad Pedro Neto.
Yeah.
He's still pretty good. Shout out to Sergio. Michael?
Last one. Unai Emery. He definitely had been a dude of the week before, but it is just absolutely outstanding what he's doing. Third best coach in the league. I think it's not close. Number three right there.
Yeah, it's Unai's world right now. Shout out to Villa. I'm sure we're going to talk about them here in a second as well. My third dude of the week, unfortunately not soccer related, but kind of soccer related because you got to travel, to go places to play soccer. These teams travel all the time. I want to give a shout out to TSA. Yesterday was the most traveled day in the history of the world, airline wise. And they had to screen 2.894, 304 million people, in one day. And I don't like to fly. Aviation disasters scare me. We didn't have one, dude. That's kind of crazy. It's like the wonders of the subway. TSA agents are incredible.
There's not
so shout out to TSA. Yeah.
So mine also isn't football related. So now I feel bad and I should find something football related. But Nick Marucci, quarterback of the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens. Lafayette Leopards 28-3 themselves, being up 28-7 at halftime.
It was not that at halftime. Settle down.
Fine, it was 28-7 with 2 minutes left in the second quarter.
So what was the score at halftime?
28-13. Regardless, Blue Hens still came back, won the, 34-32?
36-34.
See? More impactful to you because there's your one Super Bowl game where we win all the time. Also, we're FBS bound now. So,
so you ain't going to get it in the next 10 years.
You kidding me? I've already booked my tickets to the Bahama All-State Automotive Bowl in about 3 years, so I'm really excited for that. But ultimately, due to the week, Udell absolutely coming back and ruining Lafayette in their football game.
Careful what you wish for there, Dylan, because as an Ohio Bobcat fan, we were at the Idaho Potato Bowl for 3 straight years.
Pretty sick.
Pretty sick. All right, dudes of the week, done and dusted. Like I said earlier, big week of Premier League action. We're going to talk about Newcastle walloping Chelsea. Maybe they're back down to earth. Villa, Tottenham, and then the Whitaker family derby. But first, let's fly through these games that have a little less meaning, just in general. Burnley, like I mentioned, J.J. Watt going absolutely bonkers for a J. Rodriguez 49th minute pen goal. That was all for naught. They ended up losing the West Ham 2-1. O'Shea in the 86th with an own goal to tie it up, and Thomas Souček got one at the death, 91st minute there. Luton Town, big win. We could talk about this one, but I'm sure we'll have a few points here and there. 2-1 win over Crystal Palace. Mengi in the 72nd. Elise tied it up in the 74th, but Luton was not to be denied at home in the 83rd minute for Brown. 2-1 win over Palace. Nottingham Forest 2, Brighton and Hove Albion 3. Elanga with another goal for Forest. Was probably making some United fans wonder why they got rid of him at some point. But big dunk, tied it up in the 26th. Pedro scored in the 4th minute of the first half stoppage time and then got another one in the 58th minute on a pen. And then Morgan Gibbs-White, a 76th minute pen, was a consolation goal for Forest. All 3 points going to the Seagulls. Bournemouth, they looked like prime Barcelona against Sheffield United, a 3-1 win. Tavernier in the 2nd, Kluivert in the 3rd minute of stoppage time of the first half, and then Tavernier again in the 51st, had him up 3-0. They gave up a goal to Ollie McBurnie in the 97th minute, a 3-1 win for Bournemouth. As always, shout out to our Bournemouth homies. Arsenal 1, Brentford 0. This game was pretty sick to watch. I don't know if you guys did. Havertz with the lone goal in the 89th minute. Brentford gave Arsenal everything that they wanted and more. Ramsdale started in this game because they could not start. Raya. Sorry, Raya. My brain's going out. Yeah. Because of the loan rules, Arsenal got the window. Ramsdale looked a little sus. Everton, Manchester United, a 3-0 win for United. Like we mentioned, Garnacho's wonder goal came in the 3rd minute. Rashford, a 56th-minute pen. Martial, a 75th-minute goal. That is 3 goals for attacking players for United there. And then today's game, a wild one, to be quite honest. Fulham, 3-2 win over Wolves at the Cottage. Iwobi in the 7th, Cunha in the 22nd. It was tied up going into the half. A Willian pen in the 59th, controversial, put Fulham up 2-1. A Hwang pen in the 75th, not as controversial in my opinion, 2-2. And then a 94th minute pen again for Willian gave Fulham all 3 points. Let's stick there, just because it's the game that we all watched today. It's the most fresh in our mind. Let's just do yes, no, yes. Dylan, all 3 pens?
No. You want me to go 1, 2, 3? Yes, yes, no. But I also would really like to say no. Yeah. But the last one was the most bullshit one to me.
Michael, you're live texting us with this one too, so I know you're watching it. What were your thoughts?
So in the current Premier League we are in, those are all pens. Whether or not I personally agree with that being a pen or not is a different question. The last one, I think it's the same thing as, like, you have to make a move actually to the goal or something. You can't just tap the ball and then get kicked. I understand, like, it's never not going to get called. And then the first one as well, like, I think it's kind of soft, but it's getting called like 99% of the time.
Yeah, the last one was tough just because the guy is flying towards the sideline, not going anywhere near the goal. It was just kind of annoying to see.
He also came from behind João Gomes, so, like, he doesn't even know he's there. Like, he's
intent,
literally...
Intent does not matter, Dylan.
Well, intent's stupid. I mean, that's a stupid rule.
Yeah, remember when Van Dijk, like, cleared the ball during the Spurs game and Lo Celso, like, got kicked and And everyone's like, you didn't know he was there. And everyone's like, shut the fuck up. But that doesn't matter. Yeah, same thing.
Well, it already happened to us this year, too, with Huang.
So listen, you guys get absolutely boned constantly.
We're going to get four more letters this week. So, like, you know, we got to tell them the North Pole is not in Wolverhampton, like, when they send us this whole list of everything.
Good joke. The PGMLL checking it twice.
Insane.
Yeah, that was tough. I think the first pen was tough, too, because I was texting you guys, and I was like, originally, I was like, oh, it's not a pen because he touches the ball. But it kind of looked like he gets the ball, but the ball stays with the Fulham guy. I forget who was dribbling at that moment. And then it does hit him. You're just like, all right, I guess you're denying him a chance to continue on. Tough game, though. I mean, Dylan, what are your thoughts on, I mean, you've been, the Wolves have been featured the past, like, 3 or 4 weeks here just because you've been having great games, good results. Is this something to worry about because it's Fulham? I mean, we've talked about how hard it is to win on the road this year in the Prem.
It's more the same. We're Robin Hood. We don't play well away from home, unfortunately, even though I think we should have at least gotten a tie in this game. We no longer have a midfield because Gomez and Lamina are suspended, so congrats, Arsenal. You're going to beat us by probably 4 or 5. And that, to me, though, was probably the worst. I think this is a good thing, if I'm going to be honest, is I think that's the worst I've seen the Wolves actually play, where we were doing old school, like, U.S. men's national team, like, early 2000s, of let's just go for the long ball and try and beat them over the top. And we haven't done that all year, where we've actually built out the back and went down the wings, and we had absolutely none of that. So good on Fulham for that. But I think Craig Dawson missing was kind of huge for us on the back, too, to keep everything tight. But I don't know. Can't win them all. If we win all of them at home, I've crunched the math, we should be safe. So let's just keep doing that.
Sounds good. Easier said than done, obviously. Burnley. They got beat by West Ham. Burnley, the actual worst team? Michael? Yes?
Oh, yeah. You can't Nick? Not win a game at home.
Yeah? Nick?
Yeah, I mean, to give up that many goals and actually to score, technically score two goals, you know, to give up an own goal there on your own that late, like, that's something that you got to be able to put away if you're going to have a chance at sniffing staying up. So I think it's just the hourglass has been flipped on Vincent Kompany's time, and whenever that sand is probably rushing pretty quick to the bottom of that thing now.
Pre or post Boxing Day, what's your thoughts on that?
Pre.
Dylan?
Post. They love them still. They're trusting.
I think I'm a poster too. Michael? Pre?
Pre.
Yeah, Michael's going to pre. Love it. All right, Luton Town, first win of the season at home, nonetheless. Man, it's tough knowing that my second team's Palace, if all this city shit goes to shit, and I got to watch this. That's tough. Any thoughts, anyone else?
You're not going to buy the League One pass for the season?
Well, I mean, can I do that? I don't even think so.
You can. It's on ESPN Plus.
Not League One?
Guy. No.
I've watched League One games on there before.
No. Dylan's an English deep cut guy. I didn't mean to cut you off either, Dylan. It looked like you were about to say something.
Well, I was just going to say that I think we've already determined that, especially at home, Luton's scrappy. The more wild stat is that they've scored 68% of their goals in the last 15 minutes of the game. Which, like, for a team from them, that was pretty impressive because you would think they'd be tired out. And the resiliency is, like, fantastic for them. So, good on them. At this point, if the 10 points stick for Everton, they're going to make it hard. I still think Everton's fine, but they're making it hard on them.
Yeah, this is not that bad. I mean, it's a bad result for Palace. This is the worst result for Everton, essentially. Like, yeah. This is what that meant. Brighton. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say just Elise's goal was sick, and I think what's going to be interesting with Palace is what they do with him. He'll go for $80 plus million. So what they're able to do with that, because they definitely need some refreshment within that squad. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do with that in the next 2 to 3 years.
I feel like Palace to make an American comparison, Palace are like the Blazers before this season, where it's like they win some games that they're not supposed to. There's always a chance that Dame's going to go for 80, and then they'll lose. Like, Elise kind of reminds me, or Eze, both of them have that ability to have a sick goal, but not consistent enough. I mentioned Brighton. Win over Forest. We've said this before. The City Ground's not the easiest place to go and win. I think, like I just said before, winning on the road this year has been really, really tough. Michael, are you back on the wagon?
No. They give up, like you said, far too many chances. I mean, I know that they got that red card, and then after that, it was basically all Forest at the end. I was really hoping that Forest would be a little bit better defensively. I do think this is a situation where Brighton are still a step up from them, just talent-wise on the field, and, you know, that red card kind of equaled it out a little bit more. But Brighton, they're going to beat some really good teams, obviously, because, like, if they don't concede, they're going to score goals. But, man, they give up way too many chances, in my opinion.
Yeah, ton of goals. Tuckers, any thoughts on the goals?
Dumbass red card. Like,
yeah.
Just
so stupid.
Like, just watching it. My favorite. Caroline came back from somewhere, and she sits on the couch and goes, "Oh, that's right, we're kicking your ass." And then Lewis Dunk just goes off. I'm like, you're going to want to hold on to that comment for another 25 minutes, because then they score. I'm like, oh, God, this is going to get weird.
Yeah. The best part of the Premier League, though, are games like this. Just, again, haven't been in a bar watching this shit in a while, and it was pretty sick. The Fighting Craigs, they look good. I know they're beating Sheffield, but they look good. You know? It all finally came together.
They were able to control the ball and actually play attacking. They didn't have to sit back.
Well, if you told...
They don't have the players to actually do that, but it helps against the teams they're fighting against relegation with.
Yeah, and if you told me that Bournemouth's going to score 3 goals in a game and Solanke didn't get one of them, I'd be like, you're kind of nuts, to be honest with you. So, shout to the Craigs. The game they needed to win, the game they're supposed to win. Sheffield stinks too. Not as stinky as Burnley. We'll see what else happens with Everton and Luton. Arsenal, 1-0 over Brentford, man. What are our thoughts about Arsenal right now?
They're third.
I mean, John, what do you want? It's one of two things. Either they gutted it out and it's the win that defines a team that's going to win.
I'm on that camp.
Or they're not, like, producing enough, and they need to get better. It's really one of those two options.
Well, I totally screwed myself, because at the bar there was, like, 4 Arsenal fans. I first asked, I was like, why is Ramsdale playing? He looked atrocious, but I feel bad for him, because he just looks atrocious, because he has no confidence whatsoever. And then as soon as they brought on Havertz, I just looked at him, I was like, I like Martinelli, I don't know if I like the sub, and he's, of course, the death blow for Brentford there. I don't know. I don't want to sit here and say I'm not impressed by them. It's hard to win, and they won. So,
if you keep winning, don't apologize for winning. This is something where last time I think they didn't gut, last year they weren't gutting out performances, where this year they are. And, like, Ramsdale looks like a sad puppy, not to have main character energy right now, but, like, I heard the Saudi League wants Jose Sa, so, like, we'll take him, you know, let him start out the back and give him a brand new home.
Dylan, I will say, though, if there's one keeper that does the one thing you don't like, it's him. A quick restart. Nothing gets Ramsdale more hot to trot than a quick restart.
We'll break him in. It's fine. He's right. Good. As long as you're a good shot stopper, which is normally what we need, we're good. But now, I'll stop talking about the Wolves.
I mean, I think that you got to look at, I agree, you got to grind it out and don't apologize for winning, but grinding it out in November is totally different than grinding it out in March and April, when that grind feels a lot heavier. So it's a good win. I think I agree with everything you guys said, but the last 2 years or 3 years, same group has faltered down the stretch. So until you prove to me you can, in my mind, you can't.
Yeah, this reminded me a lot of the who they beat last year, like, with that last-minute goal by Nketiah. Was it West Ham? But it reminded me of that. Yeah, it reminded me of that where it's like, all right, they did this. I think that was in January. And then Dylan, like you said, not you said, but you were like, all right, they're grinding out the wins. They didn't do that last year. I feel like they just didn't do that last year for 2 months, and it was the last 2 months of the year.
But that's what I remember.
Where you have to, where you absolutely have to do it.
Where you have to do it. Nick, new segment with you, sponsored by.
It was someone. Against you. It was against United, by the way. I remember that.
No,
January 22nd, 2023, and Nketiah scores the goal against Manchester United and win 3-2.
No. I'm talking about a team, Michael. I feel like you're going to remember this. It was a team they were supposed to just beat the piss out of. It was a relegation.
Probably United.
Yeah, you probably said that last year too.
No,
it wasn't Nketiah. It was Reece Nelson.
It was.
Oh, that's right. That sick volley. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yes. All right. New segment, sponsored by insert anyone here. This is open. We're open for this. You know, you don't even have to pay us. We'll just shout you out for a little bit. Free ads all together. Nick, Manchester United, give me a breakdown. You got 30 seconds. Let's see if you can do it.
Okay. First 15 minutes was the best we've looked all season. Next 20 was pretty typical. We looked pretty good in the second half and quite happy. Andre Onana is the best goalkeeper in the league. And our forwards still suck. I hate Tony. And how much time I got left?
You're good. 15 seconds.
And... we're in a better position than we were, a little bit better position than we were last year, points wise. But the goals still suck, and I can't believe Harry Maguire is one of our best players. It's pretty fucking scary. Go Red Devils.
I knew you were gonna try to go to the end there. Love it. Good win. Great goal by Garnacho. You're 1-0 for the season. Next week, let's see if you can do it again.
Just thank God Everton sucks. I'll just say that part too. Should have said that.
If it's a main game, obviously we'll take the ad next week. But you know, just I like seeing if I can keep you under 30 seconds.
I'm not the one you got to worry about.
No.
Yes, trust you me. Are.
As the person who edits this every week, I always know where the United section is. It's a real easy spot.
Let me live.
No, that's totally fine. It provides content. Look, let's get into the big three games we got. Like I mentioned, Newcastle, Chelsea, Tottenham, Aston Villa, City, Liverpool. We're going to start with a bit of a layup. I'm sure we don't have a ton to say here. We're probably just going to laugh at Chelsea's pain. Newcastle 4, Chelsea 1. Isak in the 13th minute opened the scoring for the Geordies. Sterling got one back in the 23rd. He's been looking really, really good. Lascelles in the 60th. Joe Linton in the 61st. I think it was actually like 30 seconds later. And then as Dylan mentioned, Anthony Gordon in the 83rd, not playing for Everton, indeed playing for Newcastle. I will mention, this was a 4-1 win. It's at home. It's at Newcastle. 4-1 win for Newcastle. They didn't have Barnes, Botman, Byrne, and Wilson. And I know we're going to get into this. I want to say something about it. Reece James, the best ability is availability, and he's just not available that often. Michael, what are your initial thoughts here? You requested this game for us to chat about.
Okay, I requested this game because there's something in sports and like sports and playing video games that involve sports and stuff like that where you in FIFA, for example, you don't want to sign a 31-year-old. You want to sign a 22-year-old that has like all the potential in the world and you want to do all this shit with because he's obviously the game is constructed for him to be a 95 overall and crush everything. That is exactly what I think everybody, anytime they see a positive thing that Chelsea do, they get into this mindset that, okay, all these guys are going to come good, all these guys are going to start playing really well, and it has not happened one time on a consistent basis. They have two good results against, what, a 9-man Spurs team, and then City, admittedly, at Chelsea, and I think it's probably one of the worst defensive games I've ever seen Man City play. Okay, fine, whatever, doesn't matter. Maybe Chelsea made them make all those mistakes. But all this, like, we're back, shit, blah, blah, you have to have some sustained run of form consistently to think that these players are going to start being consistent. You can't see one or two glimpses and be like, okay, now they're going to be good forever. That's ridiculous. I know Enzo didn't play, or he did play, sorry. He looked terrible. And he's, like, supposed to be the guy. I don't think he has a goal or an assist. Maybe just a goal the whole time he's been at Chelsea. Gallagher, I think, has been fine. Sterling's been their best player, and Man City didn't even want him. And then Cole Palmer, Man City also didn't want him, sent him over there. I mean, these guys are just... I can't do another week of... They're going to beat somebody that they shouldn't beat, maybe, and it's going to be the same talking point again, and I cannot... This is why I'm cutting back on social media. I can't deal with these people anymore. Like, it's it's too much. It's too much.
You're taking the wise words of a very smart man, Tyler, the creator. How can you get cyberbullied? Turn off your computer. So if you don't want to see it, you just turn it off. Yeah.
I can't do it.
I do think Gallagher and Sterling have played really, really well this year. That's the bright spot. I said this 2 weeks ago. I think maybe even further back. I don't know, with the international break. You guys dodged a bullet with Caicedo. I think he's not very good.
Dude, I think about him and Lavia. Lavia hasn't played a game yet, and I understand he got there hurt, but, like, yeah. Again, what you said about Reece James, I as somebody who is a Liverpool fan, and him and Trent get lumped together constantly, I understand both of these players have positives. Reece James is far better defensively. You know, maybe people who are more analytical can look at it and they think he's a better player. I've seen that. I don't even argue it. Whatever. He never plays. He's hurt. They all do stupid shit like this. He didn't get one this game. Nicholas Jackson gets a yellow card like every single game. Yeah. Okay? And at some point, it's on Pochettino too. And no one has said a fucking word about him. And I don't know why.
I think you're wrong.
Go ahead. Well, you picked Chelsea to win this week, and look how that turned out.
Terrible, because...
Yeah.
Listen, I was staring 1-9 in the face and ended up 4-6, so we're very happy about that right
now. Dylan, you are the biggest, I think they're back, guy on this podcast.
Yeah, so Kangaroo Court right now is in session. I don't disagree with the beginning parts of everything where, like, Chelsea is Jekyll and Hyde, and I agree that they need to actually have some form. But I think Poch right now is in a spot, and we've said this before, where Arteta was at in Arsenal 3 or 4 years ago. They were all over the place. They sometimes won, sometimes lost, sometimes good, sometimes shit. And I think ultimately, right now, I think it goes to why I was with John on the Chelsea versus United portion of our newest bet, of the fact that I think they're going through growing pains, and I think that I agree that they looked absolutely terrible, but it's what comes with the territory, and I think it's just what we have to expect of it's throwing darts on when you choose the prediction each week of which Chelsea's going to show up at this point. And I think you have to – I think it's the same thing with when you look at college football with these coaches and all this stuff. One, who the hell are you getting on top of that? And two – you have to give him some type of time. Like, it's been 12 to 13 weeks. Not everyone's Gary O'Neill that just can turn something around in that type of time.
So true. First of all, fuck you for bringing up college football. I already forgot about it, and now you just made me relive it. Second of all, the thing with Arteta that I do agree with you, that there is this element of time with Pochettino, it's not like he's in eighth. Okay, actually, I don't even know where
they're in 10th. They're in 10th, because I was looking at the table that we could be ahead of them, and then we fucked up.
So. I'm talking about, like, glimpses. I'm talking about performance, okay? They can't finish most of the time. I guess they did score 4 goals against City, whatever. They can't finish a lot of the time, especially against worse teams. They seem to play better against better teams, which is true. But the other thing you have to understand, too, Arteta's working with, 15 guys. Okay, so he has to play some of those people. He actually was getting rid of people like Aubameyang because didn't fit, wasn't a right culture fit and stuff like that. Pochettino can't get rid of people. He has too many players, which we've always said about the team. There's too many guys on the team. You had Ugochukwu playing, who I don't think has played more than, 3 or 4 games in the Prem this year. Badiashile just came back. Can't remember who was playing before him. James just came back. Gusto was playing before him. I understand you have injury problems and stuff like that, but there has to be a set, like, amount of players or people in positions, and there's no cohesion with that team, and the players are going to suffer from that because they're not getting consistent run, they're not finding consistent form, and they're going to always do this. They're going to beat a team they shouldn't, and they're going to lose to Nottingham Forest at home. That's just what's going to happen, and this is just what the consistency is being inconsistent.
Yeah, and I want to build with Michael, too, is you add in the factor of contracts at the same time, where they're on these 6, 7, 8 year contracts, and while Poch definitely deserves time, and I think that he's earned that more than most managers, but like he's working in developing talent that is young and hungry and come up together and have purpose. These guys are here for a paycheck for the next 8 years, guaranteed, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not like you're working with some young up and comers at Southampton or at Spurs with a young core. It's a young core, but where's the motivation? They're not on a 2, 3 year contract. They're on 8, 9 year contracts where they're getting paid, you know, $20-30 million a year. Where's the, you know what? Hey, you know what? This guy, I'll just wait for the next guy. I'll wait for the next one. And they're not as young as you think. You know, we don't have to go down to each guy, but there is some age there that there's definitely some pressure with Poch. He's like, I don't have the time to develop. I got to win. And I don't think this group has the team cohesion that you need to be successful. And I also think Arteta's team was, a couple years when they struggled, was way better than these guys, period.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I forgot that Lavia was there until you brought him up. I completely forgot that was a thing.
Same. I totally agree.
Last thing for me, I'm just looking at this team that played, like, the substitutions. I think there are, I'll give you on form and on, like, glimpses that you've seen from them so far this year, I think there are three players that get into other top six Premier League teams. I think it's Reece James, just because he's had incredible performances before. He is incredibly injury prone. So I don't, you know, you might not want to take a risk there.
On that point, by the way, do you know, I saw this stat that he hasn't played 3 straight games in a row since 2021.
It's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
You took my last point.
Sorry.
The other two I would say Enzo, because I think with one with Argentina, you saw how good he could be. And then at times, he is like the Meister in that midfield. And then I just think on respect and form, you have to say Sterling. Other than that, I cannot put any of these other players confidently in another starting 11 in the top 8. I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's going to be the running theme of this podcast for us is they're Texas. Chelsea's Texas. Is Texas back?
They are back this year. What are you talking about?
This week, no.
No, that's a tough bet. But you know the phrase, like, they're back. They're going to get blown out in the first round of the playoff then by 30. They're not as good as any of those teams going to the playoff.
Would you go as far as Penn State?
I'm going to be honest. You sound like a bitter Ohio State fan. Texas is better than I think you realize.
I don't think Texas is anywhere near Georgia. I don't think Texas is anywhere near Michigan. I don't think Texas is anywhere near Ohio State. I think Ohio State's the third best team in the nation. But
I actually agree. But I wouldn't make this point because then I sound like a bitter Ohio State fan.
It's not a college football podcast. Anyway, you know what it is a podcast of? It's the Premier League. And Tottenham was a bustling club, that stadium. God, I really hope that they're still fucking up next week because that's a tough place for us to play. Tottenham, they hosted Villa. They got beat 2-1. Lo Celso in the 22nd minute. Opened the scoring up for the Spurs. Torres tied it up 7 minutes into stoppage time in the first half. And then maybe the most reliable Premier League striker, Ollie Watkins, in the 61st minute, gave Villa the second goal, gave them all 3 points. Michael, you're talking about Unai Emery. He's the third best coach in the league. I think that we're all in agreement here that this Villa team probably Champions League? Question mark?
Listen, if they can clean up the away form, which they, you know, obviously it was away to against Spurs, and again, it was a shadow of what the Spurs team usually is, with all due respect. They have, I think, first half to second half, Unai is second or third best coach in the Prem. I think he gets his team set up. I think he has so many different options, so many different types of players. I think McGinn is an example of somebody like, I would say not exactly the same way, but he's like Genie Wijnaldum for us. I think you don't know how good he is, and other teams, fans don't know how good he is, but I think those fans completely understand that he's like an engine. He is running all over the field. He's doing all types of shit. And then Ollie Watkins, 7 goals, 5 assists. I just think he is always in the best positions. He's always making the runs. He is strong. He can finish. I really like him. Maybe not like completely output-wise, but I think he's an awesome player. And again, you got to take advantage of what's in front of you. And when the back line for Spurs is Udogie, Davies, Royale, and Porro, literally like four wingbacks, maybe Davies you could say is a center back, sort of. You know, you gotta, this is a game that kind of had to win based on that lineup. And it's one that I always say, like, I'm kind of pissed that we pick our games so far in ahead, but yeah. Betting wise, it would have been one that I would have been all over for Villa, because I just think they're going to torture them.
Yeah, before I pass it to a Tucker, not the lineup that strikes as much fear when you got Brian Gill and, you know, Brennan Johnson's had some goals this season, whatever, but Oliver Skip's coming off the bench. I know that Tottenham's been hit pretty bad with the injury bug, but I don't think we give anyone that leeway on this pod. I think every time someone's like, we have injuries, I'm like, everyone does. Like, you got to figure that out. So, Dylan, Nick?
I didn't think Spurs looked that bad. Like, honestly, if they have their normal center backs in instead of the injuries and dumb red cards, I think they're more in this game. And at this point, Tottenham is more addicted to offside goals than I think a brand new kid working on Wall Street is to cocaine at this point. Like, it happens all the time. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I think in the last 3 games, they probably had 7 or 8 goals called off. Like, they're still playing Ange ball, it's unfortunate, but they're a Madison away from still being the team that we had. But to your point, John, injuries happen. You have to deal with it. And it's more, I think, something where you're saying top four. At this point, if we were saying, which I know we weren't, but people were saying Spurs could have been in the title race, at this point, we should be talking about Villa being in the title race because they're only 2 points off of it. And the way they play that high line is one of the most risky, greatest things I think I've seen defensively in a while in terms of how in sync they are on just getting everyone to go offsides against them.
Yeah, Nick, before I give it to you, Villa, 31 goals, joint second most in the Prem. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you look at what I was saying about Chelsea and the lack of cohesion, this could not be more night and day. I mean, they're 33 games in the calendar year, and they're third in the Prem, you know? I think it's only City and maybe Arsenal's ahead of them. I can't remember, but I mean, it's going to be interesting. I know it's the Conference League, but I think how deep they go in that will definitely play a role. How deep is the squad? And really, we love talking about Boxing Day. I mean, you're going to see, you have City in 2 weeks, you know, and then you go City Arsenal midweek weekend within 4 days of each other. So we'll see what that is, and then you go Brentford, Sheffield United, and then United, and then it's a pretty decent run there, you know, with everything getting jammed up. But they're awesome. They're so much fun to watch, and I just kind of hope that if they do make Champions League, I want to see Ollie Watkins stay. I would love to see him stay, but he's going to have a big price tag on him soon. So yeah, keeping him there would be interesting.
I like this team. I'm afraid to play this team. I know that game's coming up, but they look great. They look good. Also, I want to correct myself. Next week's game against Spurs at City. So I don't got to worry about the one stadium my team can't win in. It is at City. Unai, just unbelievable. All right, the two coaches that Michael may think are better than Unai Emery, we got the Whitaker brother derby. City hosting Liverpool. Erling Haaland with a goal in the 27th minute was answered by a Trent Alexander-Arnold goal in the 80th. No substitutes were used for City in this game. What other interesting facts can I say? Because in all honesty, Michael, I don't know if you agree with me. This game is pretty boring.
You think so?
I mean, I think that it's one of those. I'm not trying to say that I got a, you know, I'm not talking to smooth brainers here. I know that, but like, this was a pitching duel, and if you like pitching duels, I liked it. Like I sat there and I was like on the edge of my seat a couple different times, but I feel like the casual fan is gonna sit there and be like, this was pretty boring.
I likened it to chess. It was a chess match where if you follow chess, I'm sure that shit is very interesting to you.
Mm-hmm.
If I watch chess right now, I have no fucking clue what's going on. I just want to see the end.
Sidebar, real quick.
Since I do...
TikTok shows some chess stuff. You know the grandmaster in chess right now, which is kind of an effed up name. They need to get a better title for this dude. You know what his move is now? He just shows up 15 minutes which late to every match.
Yeah, Magnus Carlsen. Games.
Yeah, just a total dickhead. Anyway, go ahead, Michael.
Dude, he's sick, first of all. But... yeah, I think if you are invested, this was I thought a really good game. I think at halftime you had said that you think both teams are playing really well. I thought we were horrible this game. I thought we had like a couple little moments here and there. Otherwise, I thought our press was getting just cut through every single time. I think there are a couple moments where we were really close, but we never, except for the one. I think it was a Kanji pass that Szoboszlai intercepted in the first half, maybe. I don't think we ever stopped you until you got, like, a shot or cross into the box. Allison was terrible. I think he might be out for, like, the rest of the year with a hamstring. He was bad, though, the whole game, and I don't know if he was hurt before that. You know, I have no clue. I thought the defense was pretty well. I thought you could sit there and think, like, Trent was absolutely getting cooked. But, like, everybody gets cooked by Doku for the most part. And that's just, you know, something that you're going to have to deal with because of the positives of him going forward. I think this was such a big result for us because of all the talk about the 12:30 or 7:30 here, I guess. All the talk about the 7:30, our form away is really bad. We never win at the Etihad. And I think we stuck in there long enough to get a goal, and I think that we were like annoying, and I think that's good for us right now. I think we need to be annoying, and this was like our biggest test up to this far.
So I want to get back to some of those things because I have a, I'm not trying to get you upset already, but I have an interesting take on some of that stuff. The one thing I'll say, I thought that Doku would have cooked Trent a lot more. He had Trent and Matip on that side, and I was like, all right, this is where the goal is coming from. It has to. Like, this is set up tactically to give up the goal, and they both held their own. I mean, like you said, Doku's going to make a lot of people look ridiculous. I think Trent was able to kind of avoid the one-on-ones as much as possible with him, and Doku got a great rating and created, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I think we played a great first half. I think we totally... just took our foot off the gas in the second half. I think it was just lackluster, to say the least. I think we weren't creating anything that dangerous in the second half. Wasn't as impressed with your midfield as I thought it was going to be, Szoboszlai and McAllister. But I think that second half was not good for us. And I think that you guys kind of stepped up and it took your chance and made it. The comment I was going to make, though, is... all the talk about the 12:30 start. You guys know you're the ones talking about that.
Yeah, but everyone's talking about us talking about it, and they're telling us to shut the fuck up.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
You also, I want to just let you know, you're on the record saying it's fucked up how much we get that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Okay.
Sounded a little J.J. McCarthy of you guys. No one believes in us. Type of shit. Like,
I didn't say that. I just said there was, dude. There was a whole ESPN segment about it. I mean, I don't know. The worldwide leader in sports was talking about it.
True. Anyway, I thought it was a boring game. Tuckers, you're the neutral parties here. Any thoughts?
It was a decent game to watch. I just don't watch it as intensely as you guys do because I kind of just want both of the I want the field to go like Batman and Bane to blow the field up when you guys are playing.
Tough. It's really hurtful. Arm on really people. Hurtful. That's pretty screwed up. Dylan, any thoughts?
But nobody gets injured, of course.
Okay. Good caveat at the end.
Fun fact, did you know this is the second time in Premier League history the first and second place teams in the table played and neither was in first place after the game was ended?
No.
Where did you find that?
We did have a comment after, John, that I think we both agreed Arsenal are in first now and I'm not worried about it.
No.
Yeah. Actually, the question I had during the whole game...
This is going to be good to bring back at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Clip it.
The question I had during the game, actually, was I wanted to know what the Whitaker back-and-forth text chat was like, because our chat was... Whether you guys were sparing us or, like, you just want to have it on your own, what was the text chat like with you guys during the game?
We didn't really talk that much, because I thought you were with Lex and her parents, so I didn't want to blow your phone up.
Yeah, we actually got to do a little bit better about talking through some of this stuff. I think that 3 years ago, there was a lot more back and forth to this. Now, I will say this, it's all civil, and then we wait to try to embarrass each other on this podcast, because it's better for clicks, obviously. But for the most part, sorry for our moms listening to this. Like, I don't want to jerk off the Liverpool people any more than I already do on this podcast, which I'm sure people think. It's like, I have mutual respect for them. I will say this, and it's going to come back to haunt me. I know he had the assist. I think he's a little slower. I think Mo's a little slower. And I think I wasn't impressed with that either. And I just... He had the ball, and normally I'd be scared, and I think I was scared for the first couple of minutes, and I just knew Nathan Ake had him. I don't know.
So, I think as a team, I think Nunez was poor. I think Jota was poor. McAllister and Szoboszlai, McAllister usually sits back, but Szoboszlai, Jones was, one of those two eights was literally pressing when Akanji had the ball up towards the defense, so they were like pushing up. I think it was something that we tried to do, and honest to God, I don't think it worked. That's why I said Unai Emery might be tactically number two, because I think Klopp made a little bit of a mistake with that press, what he was doing. Mm. And apart from that one time Szoboszlai got the interception, I thought you guys bypassed this constantly. That being said, it's just interesting as you watch, like, the goal that we gave up was literally because Van Dijk took a chance to try to get Haaland offside, and Haaland just didn't make the run he thought he was going to. And yeah, because these teams are so good, it's one mistake. And obviously, like, you know, you guys made a lot of other chances and stuff like that, but we're not bad defensively either. I think we have the joint lowest goals against. Maybe now Arsenal has it. But, and the same thing with Trent, you know, Gakpo makes that run. Everyone thinks that they might be passing it behind because that's what we do a lot. And Trent makes that run behind. Great finish. But that's really what separated these teams. And again, I just think we could have got pumped here based on that first half that I watched. And the fact that we didn't, the fact that we came back and scored and then held out the rest of the game was, it felt like a win because I don't think we deserved it.
You won the tie. Liverpool won the tie.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all. The thing that was most frustrating is it felt like the goal came from nowhere. Like, that's... And I texted you that. That's, like, something that I did say. I was like, bro, like, you guys... It was just... The second half was a lull. Between us not being able to put you away, and then you guys, like, the chances would come here and there, but it was never anything too, too crazy. And then he kicks that ball, and there's a part of me that's like... That's a save, and then it just wasn't. And I was like, whatever. I feel bad for Allison. I like Allison a lot. I think you could tell that he was hurt earlier. So I think that'll be something we're dealing with. But
I also just think last thing is I think that one of the only things I sent to you was I get two reminders a year about how much I hate Bernardo Silva.
Mm.
And it's only because he's good. If he wasn't very good, it wouldn't matter. Mm-hmm. But he's everywhere. His face is always in a permanent crying, like, look all the time. Just really bothers me. And that's about it. Yeah, I don't know about the substitution things. Like, I don't know why Pep doesn't make any subs.
We got a Wolves fan on the podcast, and I think there's multiple times every week that we do this, and I make a comment, and I think Dylan wants to kick me in the balls below the table. This bench is not the best bench we've ever had. It's not Scott Carson, Ortega, Gardial, Stones, yes. Rico Lewis, yes. Calvin Phillips, Sergio Gomez, Oscar Bob. That's not like the type
Gardial.
Of bench. I said yes.
Sorry. I thought you were going to say something. Gardial, Stones, Rico Lewis. That's three. The thing that's so hard for me to agree that Calvin Phillips isn't good enough is because, like, why did you get him then? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe get better recruitment or, you know, like, figure out how to work around financial fair play and you could have better players.
Because you can pay whatever you want and get whatever you want, and you can just say, I don't need him, we'll just get rid of him.
Yeah, United knows all about that.
Now, we keep that. Tough game. We don't get anything back for them. Will you settle down, please?
True. anyway. We've waxed unpoetically long enough on this game. Michael, return leg. I do have a quick question. Are we finally going to see Van Dijk, Konate against us?
Probably. I actually don't know. I don't know why he didn't play. I don't know if it's because he just got back off of injury. Probably because he's pretty injury prone. The only thing I just remembered is I wish actually we would have started Gakpo instead of Nunez. Because this is exactly the game where him off the bench would have been, like, devastating.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, like I said, the format's changing a little bit. We're done after this one. Dylan's going to get us out of here with a joke. Tune in. I think the episode's going to drop Thursday. Get our predictions and some of the bets. Maybe not. But like I said before, like, subscribe, share, give us a comment, leave us a review. Tell me that I'm mean to someone on the podcast. I feel like I'm the aggressor on here, I guess. We'll see. Dylan? You got a joke?
All right, boys. Why do goalkeepers spend ages on Microsoft Office? Because they can't stop saving their work. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.